Now, the scripture text for this morning is from Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 15 and 16. Galatians 2, that's on page 1165. We either just listen or read along to this portion of God's Word. I'll back up the reading to verse 11 and then read on through verse 16. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, "If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified." As I go about, and maybe I hear more of it because people find out eventually that I'm a pastor. But in social situations, people will bring up religion and talk about things, and people will say things such as in regard to denominations. Well, we're all the same, or it's all the same when you boil it all down, isn't it? And it's an interesting question, or an interesting statement. I guess it's put forth as a rhetorical question with a yes answer expected. But the answer is sometimes yes and sometimes no. When you boil it down, there sometimes is the heart of the gospel, despite differences in denominations. But sometimes when you boil it down, it's not. And there's a difference at the very heart of the gospel. And that's what Paul is dealing with here. Certainly he's not dealing with denominations at this point, but he is dealing with the factions of the Judaizers, the party of the circumcision. And they come to Galatia, and they just came to Antioch as he's recounting a story from some months ago. And what they're demonstrating and what they're teaching is something very, very different than the gospel of grace that is taught by Scripture, that's taught by Paul, that's taught by Christ. And so we need to be grounded in that as well, because not all expressions of the gospel or claims to the gospel are the actual gospel. And we need to get to the heart of what people are saying when they express that. And this text this morning helps us in that. First, we are all condemned sinners in verses 15 and in the first part of 16. As we've learned from the start of this letter, Paul is writing to a presbytery, a group of churches in modern-day Turkey, that have come under the influence of false teachers known as Judaizers. And these men are teaching that Gentiles come to Christ, to come to salvation, by yes, trusting in Christ, but by also being circumcised and following the Old Testament ceremonial law, including eating a kosher, as we would call it today. And that false gospel of works, of faith plus doing things to earn salvation, is not the actual gospel that is expressed in Scripture. Any gospel that requires you to do things to be reconciled to God does not save. And Paul thoroughly condemns this false gospel as being false, and warns them in chapter 1 that they need to avoid this false gospel. Last week we saw that Paul had to publicly rebuke Peter, who's called Cephas there, because although he knows and teaches the true gospel, he had come under the influence of these false teachers. And he was not eating with the Gentiles because they were eating unclean food. Paul corrected Peter for his hypocrisy and his sinfully bad example. And we read there from last week, verse 11, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Here in today's verses then, Paul transitions from talking about Peter's sin to the heart of why the Judaizers are completely, totally wrong. They teach a false gospel of works instead of the true gospel of grace, where one is justified by faith alone in the work of Christ alone and not by what we do. We begin this section with Paul including himself. He speaks of we here in this verse. And he points out that although there are advantages here to being a Jew, one's race or religious practice does not bring salvation. That comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. He writes, we are Jews by nature, and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. The point in saying that we are Jews by nature and not Gentile sinners is certainly not to say that Jews are not sinners. Paul very clearly writes in Romans 3, verses 9 and 23, both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He's not saying that they are sinless. But he is pointing out the fact that there were certain advantages to living under the covenant people of God. That there were great blessings in living in that community that the rest of the world did not enjoy. There's great advantage in being part of the covenant. The Jews in the Old Testament church, as there's great advantage to growing up here in the New Testament church. The Jews, as Paul writes in Romans 9, have the adoption as sons, the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. There was great advantage in being in the community where the Scriptures were read and studied, where people gathered together to worship. As we know those advantages in the New Testament covenant people, as there is advantage to growing up and living in the church. Paul points out to Christians who have an unbelieving spouse in 1 Corinthians 7 and 14, otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. He speaks to that advantage of having covenant children grow up in the church. Much as in Paul's day, there was an advantage to growing up in Israel. We and our kids are set apart in the covenant people. And there's a blessing to that. And yet, Paul says in verse 15, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. No one is right with God based on their ethnic background or their religious deeds or even being churched. There is one way of being right with God, and that is through faith in Christ. Notice that Paul uses the word justified to describe being made right with God. And that word justified is a legal term that speaks of being in a courtroom and having a defendant being acquitted by the judge instead of being condemned as guilty. We're told here that God is our judge, that He is holy and He is just, and He requires holiness of those who have been made in His holy image. And yet we as fallen human beings are sinful and are not holy. And that presents a big problem. How can sinful people be reconciled to the holy God? How can guilty people avoid the just punishment of a righteous judge? Well, the Judaizers were saying that by obeying the rules of Scripture, including getting circumcised, which is now obsolete, and obeying kosher food laws, which were then obsolete, God would bring a verdict of not guilty. Follow the rules, trust in Christ, you'll get the not guilty. In other words, becoming obedient makes one right with God. But Paul very clearly and repeatedly in these two verses says no. Notice that Paul speaks in broad terms. Yes, he's answering the issue of the Judaizers, but he also paints this in a way that's broad, that can answer any and all kinds of systems that say that you're reconciled to God by what you do. We cannot be reconciled to God on the basis of circumcision or baptism or going to church or religious acts or being good or being relatively better than the person that lives next door to you. Whether you're a good Jew or a good church member or a covenant child or someone who has never been in a church, no human being can be justified by obeying the law, because we can't and don't obey it. There is no work or ceremony that you can do to get the not guilty verdict from a just judge, be that today or on the day you die or on the day of judgment. We are sinners and we are far from perfect. And being circumcised won't change that. And being baptized, if you're dependent upon that, won't change that. Attending church, just attending church, won't change that. You cannot be accepted by God on the basis of works. Instead of being a way to earn salvation, God's law actually reminds us that we aren't good enough, that we cannot earn our way to God's favor. Paul writes in Romans 3, whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And so, as we read God's law and we know it in our hearts, it's pure foolishness to think, well, this is a way of pleasing God to earn heaven. Because the law points out that we're failures at obedience. And that's part of the point. We are failures. We cannot earn God's favor. Paul writes in Ephesians 1, in fact, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We cannot make ourselves alive. We cannot earn God's favor by obedience or by ceremonies. The perfect judge will judge perfectly. All of the sinless and perfect people will earn heaven. There's nobody in that line. Except one, but we'll get to him in a moment. All of the sinners deserve wrath. Any sin condemns, and we've sinned countless times. None of us is perfect like the Holy God. And having been circumcised or baptized or religious cannot change that. There is only one way, and that is through faith in Christ. And so, second, faith in Christ alone is the only way to be justified. In verse 16. And here Paul expands on what he means that we're justified through faith in Christ, not by works. He writes, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. He says, even we have believed, to emphasize the fact that the Jews, including himself, must come to salvation in the same way Gentiles do. Okay, if you grew up in Israel, you may not have done the horrible things that the people out in the pagan countries did, but you're still a sinner. And if you grew up in the church, you may not have done the other wild sins that people out in the world do, but you're still a sinner. And that point holds true. Church people must come to salvation the same way unchurched people do, through faith in Christ. Believing in Christ Jesus and having faith in Christ to be justified before God refers to God's work of grace in a sinner, that He convicts us by the Holy Spirit of our sinfulness and of our guilt before the Holy God and our inability to fix ourselves or to save ourselves by anything that we can change or do. And so we must put our trust in Christ alone, who was good for us, who took God's wrath for us, who rose again from the dead as an acceptable sacrifice. Those who repent and trust in Christ alone are those who are reconciled to God through what He has done for people who cannot help themselves. Paul writes in Romans 4, righteousness will be credited to those who believe Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice there that double exchange, that the believer is covered in Christ's righteousness and so becomes acceptable to God. And Christ is covered in our sins as He pays for what the believer has done on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 nails down this double exchange that Paul speaks of here. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He takes our sin, we're covered in His righteousness, and so are justified by God through what Christ has done. And we take hold of that by faith alone. We don't do anything to earn it. It's all about what Christ has done for us. Trusting faith then involves taking hold of all of the promises of this gift of salvation and placing all of our trust in Christ and what He has done for us. It's all by grace and all through faith and all in Christ. And as we're united by faith in Christ, we receive all of these benefits of His work. Even the faith that we use to take hold of and trust in Christ is a gift. So we can't even claim that that is our work. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Here then Paul sums up things by quoting Psalm 142, verse 2, "Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified." Notice the universal terms. No flesh will be justified. He's very clear there. This is the only way. It is all by grace or it doesn't come at all. No flesh will be justified by the works of the law, by doing good, by obeying the Scriptures. Revelation 20 pictures the day of judgment. And John writes, "I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." And so as John pictures the final judgment, no one is justified by what they did in the books that record what we do. The only people that avoid condemnation are those who have their names written in the book of life. Those who have trusted in Christ and are covered in His righteousness. And so this whole thing pictures what God in His grace and in His power have done for people who are helpless and cannot help themselves. And so it's a wonderful, amazing picture of grace and of the work of Christ and of what He has gone through to secure the salvation of sinful people. Now, in past weeks, I've mentioned some modern false teachings that are echoes of the Judaizers, promising salvation by faith plus religious deeds or obedience of some sort. And today's verses speak most powerfully, actually, to the false gospel of works that's taught in the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, the Catholic Church directly contradicts this passage in their teachings and activities. And I mention that not because I'm obnoxious, although that I guess that's a possibility, but because the Scriptures point out that there are ways of salvation and that there are ways that pretend to be that aren't. And it's only out of compassion that we should point those out to ourselves and to others. It is not compassionate to pretend that that does not exist. After God used Luther and Calvin and other men to bring about the recovery of the gospel of grace in the Protestant Reformation of the 1500s, the Roman Church convened to answer that in a council called the Council of Trent in 1545, to answer the Reformation. And many canons or statements were made by that council, which are still the official response of the Roman Church. And those are really helpful in trying to get to what's at the heart of the issue. And I want to look at a couple of those, at least, this morning. First, Canon 9. "If anyone saith that by faith alone the impious is justified in such ways as to mean that nothing else is required to cooperate in order to the obtaining of the grace of salvation, let him be anathema, or condemned, cursed. If anyone saith that by faith alone the impious is justified, let him be condemned. There, the Council of Trent condemns anyone who says that by faith alone the sinner is justified. But that's what Paul just said, isn't it? Paul just said, man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. He rules out all works and says that it's all by faith. Ephesians 2, he said it again, by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works, so that no one may boast. It is by faith and not by works. And yet, the Council of Trent says that by faith alone is cursed, condemned. You can't get much more clear than that. Those are polar opposite positions. And as we know people in Catholicism, it sets up a system much like the Judaizers, where you do religious things like Mass or indulgences or baptism or last rites to gain salvation or keep that salvation. It's a grace factory where you do things to get the grace that you need to be justified before God. Canon 11 of Trent says, if anyone saith that men are justified by the sole imputation of the justice of Christ, or even that the grace whereby we are justified is only the favor of God, let him be anathema. Trent condemns the position that one is justified by Christ's righteousness alone, and that God saves purely by favor, purely by grace. But today's verses says that we're saved by grace and not by works. Again, it's hard to get, or if it's impossible to get two more completely opposite positions. On top of that, Rome teaches that justification is a process. And so you have to keep going back to get the grace, get the righteousness that fills you up, that makes you acceptable to God. To get a little theological on you here, the Roman system teaches that one is justified by infused righteousness. And I like to picture it as a cup. You're a cup. Under the Roman system, you need your cup to be full to be accepted by God. In sinning, we deplete our cup. But you go back to Mass, or you attend the different ceremonies, and your cup's filled up again. But then you sin again. So you have to come back again. And so it's a system where they continue to supply justification for you by what the church supplies in its ceremonies. That is opposed to what God says in the Word, that we're not justified at all by what's in our cup, the righteousness that's in us. We're justified by what's in Christ, and He is always full. His righteousness is complete because he totally obeyed the law. In fact, Paul says in Titus 3, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom we poured out richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And justification isn't a lifelong process. It's an act of God that he does one time, that he looks at Christ for the believer and says, the believer is justified because Christ was perfect for you. The believer is justified because Christ took God's wrath for you. Jesus says in John 5, Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. It's not a hope dependent upon continuing to get grace from the Mass. It's an act of God that he does when we believe, and it's done. And then we grow in that faith. Paul can speak to this powerfully as he speaks about the Judaizers, because he used to be a Pharisee. He used to be one who thought that he was right with God by doing religious deeds. But God showed him very powerfully that that is not possible, that he needed Christ. And Paul looks back on that in Philippians 3 and says, I count all things a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. It's an other righteousness, an alien righteousness, a righteousness that comes through what Christ has done that is then applied to us, not by what we think we can do. And so, as we look at the heart of it, the gospel, according to Scripture, and the gospel that's presented in the Roman Church are completely opposite. The Westminster Confession states, justification is an act of God's free grace unto sinners, where he pardons all their sins and accepts and accounts their persons righteous in his sight, not for anything done in them or done by them, but only for the perfect obedience and full satisfaction of Christ by God imputed to them and received by faith alone. It's either by faith alone or it doesn't come at all, because we cannot earn it or deserve it. And we must, as Paul tells the Galatians, hold to the scriptural position. Hold to what Paul has given us and the other scripture writers have given us as the true gospel. And in this politically correct world, that's not what people want to hear. But it's not compassionate to pretend that a false gospel is going forth. People think it's the real thing when it actually is not. Paul is not being mean in Galatians by pointing out that the Judaizers are selling them a false gospel. He's being loving and compassionate. And out of love and compassion, that is what we teach and preach as well. Any system, Catholicism or Protestantism, that teaches that we're right with God by being good and nice without trusting in Christ is a false gospel. And we need to hold that for ourselves and trust in Christ. We also need to boldly share that in compassion with those around us. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do thank you for this portion of your word and ask that you might apply it to our hearts. And we do thank you for the truth of the gospel. Because left to ourselves, we would think that we're good enough, or that by doing ceremonies, we please you somehow. We're thankful for words like this that point us to the true gospel of grace. That out of your compassion, you tell us that there is but one way. And that is in what you have done for us, people who cannot help themselves. So we pray that you would be at work in us, that we would be trusting in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, to be reconciled to you. And that we would recognize false systems when we see them, and pray for and share the gospel with those who are believing a lie. And we ask that in these days you would bring many to yourself, and that you would purify your church. And we ask these things for your glory, and in Jesus' name, amen.